This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
The greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable.
God is great.
God is great.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, and greatly to be praised.
Let's take it to the top. The greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable. The love that He shows is unconditional. The power of the Lord is unbeatable. Great is the God we serve.
Say, God is great. God is great.
God is great.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, and greatly to be praised.
Say, God.
God is great.
Whoa,
whoa, and greatly to be praised.
Say, God is great. God is great.
God is great.
And greatly.
And greatly to be praised.
Please join us for a word of prayer.
Lord God, we bow before you this day, giving you thanks for who you are, giving you thanks for how you are. The song says, for your goodness and your mercy toward us. Lord, that's enough right there, your goodness and your mercy toward us. But we're gonna offer you praise, Lord God, for the ways you've blessed this week. We offer you praise for your provision this week, for the doors that you open, for the doors that you shut for our protection, oh God. We offer you praise for all of the ways you made. We offer praise, God, for the healing. We offer you praise for the medical reports that are coming back clear, oh God. We offer you praise, God, for the breakthroughs that we need in whatever area of life. We offer you praise. God, we offer you praise for how you are at work in our lives, seen and unseen. Seen and unseen. Some of it is so marvelous before our eyes, we can't help but offer you praise. But some of it, God, your grace, so many things that we cannot see, that we will never know, that you have orchestrated for us, for all of those things, God, we offer praise. God, we pray for this church family, for this body of believers. Would you continue to unite us in your spirit? Would you continue to grow us in your grace? Would you continue to bless us so that we might be blessings in this, your world, that you so graciously hold in the palm of your hands? Thank you, God. for being God and God alone. We worship you. We honor you. It is our privilege to praise you this day. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Out. The Bible says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Amen. Hear these words from Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you.
We'll stop there. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for the joy of worshiping you. God, we give thanks that we have come now to the preaching moment, Lord. So we pray that you speak, for your servants are listening. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart gathered is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
Our topic today is holy hydration. You know that the doctors say that if you feel thirsty, then it's already too late. We can't wait to drink water when our throat is dry or when our lips are a little bit chapped. If you feel thirsty, it's already kind of late. You're already on the road to dehydration, science says. And what happens in dehydration? Our organs are deprived of the fuel they need to keep pumping. Our muscles and our joints are stiff and unlubricated. We can't move as well as we could. We lack energy, and in extreme cases, we could die. We could die. All because we'd rather have lemonade. I know I would. Or sweet tea. Maybe that's your thing. We could die all because we think Coke is wet and Sprite is clear, so surely they do the same things that water will do. But the bottom line is we need water. All creation does. Humans, animals, plant life, everything needs water. It's not that water is a good idea or it might be nice, but we literally need it to survive. And earth, 70% water, our bodies, 60% water. We simply need it in order to thrive. Physical water, yes. But in the case of believers, we need that grace that we find in the living water. Living water. Friends, what do you think happens in spiritual dehydration? Our faith collapses. Or it doesn't function as well as it could. Maybe we struggle to walk in the spirit and find it much easier to just walk in the flesh. Dehydrated disciples can't keep up on all the walks that Jesus likes to take. If you've ever done a 5K, 10K, marathon, any of that, you know that if you just wait to start drinking water the morning of the race, that's not going to work for you. And if you just bank on all the water you drank last week, that's not going to work for you. That's why they have water stations or even fruit stations throughout so you can stay hydrated. Dehydrated disciples won't have the spiritual stamina, the steadfastness to go where Christ is calling us to go. We will have a hard time following the Holy Spirit. And perhaps this is why the psalmist says, you, God, are my God. I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land, some versions say, in a dry and weary land, others say, where no water can be found. I seek you. I thirst for you. I wonder, how much water do you drink in a day? How much living water do you drink in during a day? Amen. What does that mean? How much scripture do you read? How many hymns or praise songs do you offer up to the Lord? How much do you pray throughout the day? How much time do you spend listening to God's response to prayer. And if you can't quantify it, if you say, oh, I don't know, Pastor, if you say you can't quantify it because it's so plentiful, then praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. But if you can't quantify it because you can't remember when you opened your Bible outside of church, or you can't remember when you sang a praise song outside of the assembly, then that means we have some room to grow this evening. When it comes to holy hydration, I also wonder, are you tempted to let anything else fill you up and do the work of living water? I say it all the time that many times we look to people, we look to man to do what only God can do. We just said we can't look to lemonade and sweet tea to do what only water can do. Do we make that same mistake when it comes to the living water? Or do we thirst after God, as the psalmist says? It can be tempting to reach for the comfort or the pleasure of our favorite drink, but when we do, we miss out on the wonderful properties of water. And I gotta let you know that as I was thinking about the properties of water, thinking about the states of water this week, I heard the Lord say, I got you, no matter what state you're in. Gas, liquid, solid, I got you. Flowing easily when you're steaming or frazzled, hardened by life, I got you. Just as water presents itself as a trinity, gas, liquid, solid, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, say, I got you. Whatever state you're in, whatever state you need me to be in, we've said before, that's what it means when God says, I am that I am. It also literally translates, and I will be what I will be. I will be whatever it is you need me to be. God says, I got you. And what are some of those properties of water that bless us? Scientists say water is the universal solvent because it dissolves more substances than any other liquid. So that means whether water is flowing through the ground or through rock or through us, it's moving nutrients and minerals and all kind of stuff through and out and around and doing what it needs to do. I wonder if you could take a moment to imagine the living water as a spiritual solvent. What is the Lord trying to break down in your life, in your mind, in your spirit? Is there a painful memory that God would like to dissolve so you could live free? What fear would the Holy Spirit like to move through you and out of you so that the Spirit could lead you in this world? What idea maybe does God want to break down so that the Lord could do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine? Can you imagine what would be possible if we just drank in a little more living water? What are some of the other properties? Science says that water is highly cohesive, so it's super sticky and holds things together. Friends, I bet with all that King David was going through, I know he was praying to the God of cohesion when he wrote this song, Lord, hold my kingdom together. Lord, hold my crazy little family together. Lord, hold me together in all my mess. Friends, I wonder what feels like it's falling apart in your world right now. Do you think living water could help hold it together? What are you struggling to manage, to juggle, to secure for yourself? Could living water work for you like it worked for David? And don't forget, if you're already feeling thirsty, you're already possibly on the road to dehydration. But the good news is living water will meet us wherever we are. Our God, who is capable of quenching every thirst, will meet us at the well, just like he did the Samaritan woman in John 4. Our God will meet us and an overwhelming wall of water, just like he did the Israelites at the Red Sea. Living water can meet us on a lake, just like Jesus did with the disciples and Peter when he called Peter out to walk on the waves with him. Living water might even meet us in a river, where Exodus 2 tells us Moses was plucked out of the water and saved from death to do what he had been purposed to do from birth. The living water will meet us anywhere, no matter where we are, no matter what state we're in. The God who speaks and spits out the seas says, I got you. The God who speaks and calms the storms around us says, I got you. God also says, it would be easier for me to get you if you would draw near to me. It would be easier for living water to reach you if you would come away with me sometime. If you would enjoy some time apart, as he encouraged the disciples to do. God says it could be easier if you would seek me sometime. You, God, are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. The good news is there is water. We just have to want it. I'm reminded of a story of a parent whose child said they were thirsty, and when they tried to give them water to drink, they said, I'm not thirsty for that. I'm not thirsty for that. And so I wonder how often God responds to a need or attempts to bless us, and we're saying, I don't want to be blessed like that. That's not what I was thirsting for. We never think we would say it. But when we don't show appreciation, when we refuse to serve in return, when we keep seeking God for an answer, quote unquote, to a thing that's already been answered, we're saying, I'm not thirsty for that. And so I wonder, do we truly thirst for God today? And if so, how do we satisfy that thirst? I'll ask again, how much water do you drink in a day? Do you get your 8 glasses or 1 gallon or half your body weight, some of the medical research suggests? Are you drinking that much? Are you the kind? I know, right? That's a whole different number. Are you the kind of person who also sneaks your water in? What you mean? In the fruit that you eat, or the food like cabbage or cucumber that have a lot of water in them. Drinking water isn't the only way to get your water. And in the same spirit, I wonder, how do you sneak in your living water? Do you play music while you get ready for the day, or while you're studying and doing homework? Do you listen to the church's Worship First podcast when you can't be in worship? Do you set the Bible app to remind you to read it? How are you getting your living water? Or are you in danger of becoming a dehydrated disciple? How are we getting a holy, healthy intake of living water? All creation needs it. Humans, animals, plants. And we're blessed to live in a time and a place where we have access to safe and clean water. Whenever I think about our undeniable need for water, I think of cities like Flint, Michigan, where the water is still unsafe to drink. I think about the billions of people around the world who don't have a clean water source anywhere near them. I think about our overuse of plastics that contaminate water sources close to home and far away. I think about cultures where securing water is a major effort. Folks are still walking to the well like that Samaritan woman. And many young girls don't have the privilege of being in school because gathering water is woman's work. The good news is God will meet us at the well. And the even better news is that the Lord does not show up empty-handed, even if it looks that way. Yes. That's how it looked when Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman in John 4, who was no doubt thirsting for acceptance and love and community. And he tells her that he can give her all that and more through living water, so she will never thirst again. And in verse 11, she replies, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep." Friends, the best news is that the Lord does not show up empty-handed, even if it looks that way. Not only didn't Jesus have a bucket, a cup, or nothing, he didn't even really have the energy to draw the water. All the Gospels tell this story, but only John speaks of Jesus' state. And in John 4, verses 5 through 6, he says this. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Tired as he was from the journey, still able to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Tired as he was from the journey and still able to meet us at the point of our need. Tired from the journey, still able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the throne of grace. Tired from the journey, still able to bless, heal, deliver, set free, still able, no matter what state we're in. God still got us. Yes. No matter what state we're in, what state God is in, God is still able to meet us and manifest miracles. But it helps if we seek after. It helps if we thirst for him, if we meditate on his goodness in the watches of the night, Psalm 63 says. It helps when we're lying there awake and can't sleep at night, if we concentrate or if we, like we said last week, begin to confess what we know about the Lord instead of playing a game or scrolling. If we get to talking about the goodness of the Lord, meditating him on the watches of the night, I promise the enemy will let you sleep. I promise the enemy will let you sleep. Friends, it also helps if we're open when we encounter him. The woman at the well wasn't seeking Jesus that day. She was probably thirsting for something else. But when Christ drew near, so did she. So did she. Her heart was open to receive. And I wonder if you've ever had a drink, and then while you were drinking, you realized how thirsty you actually were. Like maybe you drank that glass of water down in one big swallow, and you thought, "Ooh, I didn't even know I was that thirsty." I imagine that's the kind of encounter she had with him. "I didn't even know this is what I needed. I thought I was just coming at a time when nobody else would be here so I could have my privacy, have my peace of mind. But I didn't know I needed living water to experience that peace that passes all understanding. I didn't know this is what I needed. I knew I wanted to avoid the other ladies so I wouldn't experience their rejection or their judgment. But I didn't know that what I needed was living water, so that I could experience free." What does the word tell us? "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." That's not what she was thirsting for that day. And yet her heart was open to receive that offer of living water. I wonder if you've ever had a drink and then realized how thirsty really were. I imagine pandemic is having that kind of effect on some of us. We don't know how much we really need to seek God until we find ourselves in a season like this where we can't seem to see our way out of the situation with all our technology and all our wisdom and all our know-how and all our experiences. We still can't see our way out. So we're seeking you, Lord, in this dry and weary land. I imagine the unpredictability of life has that kind of impact on us, makes us thirst. And many of us simply don't know how thirsty we are. And so the invitation from God through the prophet Isaiah still stands. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, you who are tired and weary, come. You who have tried to fix it for yourself, come. You who have worried yourself, come. You who have exhausted all your options, come, all who thirst, especially those of you who thirst for God's living water. Come. Don't wait until you're too thirsty. Come. Don't become a dehydrated disciple. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.